there's these paid performance opportunities now where you can like pitch pretty much any publication like Vogue, Harper's Bazaar, Women's Health, whoever you want. And you basically say like, this is what we want to talk about. And we're willing to pay $2 cost per click, for instance. And then if their editorial team think it's something that would appeal to their users, they'll pick up your story and they'll write it.
How do you kill it on TikTok, even if it's not your personal jam? Hello and welcome to Growth Masterminds. My name is John Katsir. Everyone knows TikTok is huge. It's massive. In Singular's recent ROI index, TikTok ranked high in every single geo for every single category for both major platforms. Now, ads are great, but organic social can be even better. And one CEO found a cool way to win on TikTok. We're going to chat with her now. She's Sarah Neal, the founder and CEO of Ms. Tyler. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, John. Great to chat to you.
Great to have you all the way from Australia. I'm happy that you're here. It's only 8:30 in your morning, so it's not some crazy hour. That's awesome. Let's start here. What is Ms. Tyler?
Okay, so Ms. Tyler is a community of, at the moment, 600,000 women that care about clothing because we all have to get dressed every single day, whether we like shopping for clothes or not. And basically what we do is, our theory of the world is that there's some people who love shopping and there's some people who hate it. So if we match the people who love shopping with the rest of the people in the world that have their same dimensions, then they can do the job of shopping for us. So the best way to think about us is like Instagram. So it's a platform where you have lots of women sharing their outfits, showing you how things fit, what they're wearing, where you can buy it. But we match you to the creators that look most like you. So if you find your body double and you like what they're wearing, you can essentially just follow them and copy their looks and buy what they're wearing. And we have a huge diversity of creators. So we've always been very intentional about diversity across age. We have creators up into their 70s. We have creators of all different sizes, shapes, heights, ethnicities. So what's really beautiful about our community is, first of all, that we create a fashion experience where every woman feels represented. So you come on and you're like, oh, she looks incredible and she looks like me. So what she's wearing, I can actually buy and I can look like that too. So overall, the experience of Ms. Tyler, our users, 86% of our users are more body confident just by using our app. But then secondly, we're also solving the problem of fit because you're actually seeing clothes on a body like yours and seeing how they fit and how they're styled. So in fashion, 40% of what's purchased online is returned. And on Ms. Tyler, it's less than 5%. So it's actually just a much more efficient way to shop. So that's what we're doing.
That is really amazing because you're absolutely right. Stuff on the brand website or Amazon, and there's some model wearing it, 6'1". I'm a man, so it's 180 pounds, right? Waist of like, I don't know, 28 or something like that, right? And there's not that many men who exactly look like that. And so I'm thinking for women, the problem is even bigger. I love what you have on your website. I saw this here. It says 89% of women are more body confident when they like what they're wearing, but only 15% of us are wearing clothes we like each day. So true. So many things in your closet. Well, I don't know about it, but I love wearing this and I feel good wearing this. So that makes a ton of sense. Okay, cool. So we know what Ms. Tyler is. That's awesome. It's a cool startup. Love it. And you've got significant scale already. Let's hit your growth channels. What are your major growth channels? What have they been?
Yeah. So to give you context as well, so we have been around, we had the app launched 3 years ago. And so far we've had 650,000 maybe downloads at a CAC of 48 cents, which is like incredibly low cost of acquisition. Our primary paid channel has been Meta across Facebook and Instagram. So that's just been the platform that we started with. It did really well for us. And so we continued on. It definitely over the last 3 years become less effective as everyone probably had the same experience. So that has been really our bread and butter. And then the other thing that's worked incredibly well for us has been paid PR. So we've been really fortunate to get a lot of organic PR, which is fantastic because we're talking about things that are very topical, representation and efficiency and all of that. But organic PR doesn't necessarily drive traffic to your site because it's like a soft mention about your product as opposed to like, click here and download the app. But there's these paid performance opportunities now where you can like pitch pretty much any publication like Vogue, Harper's Bazaar, Women's Health, whoever you want. and you basically say, like, this is what we want to talk about, and we're willing to pay $2 cost per click, for instance. And then if their editorial team think it's something that would appeal to their users, they'll pick up your story and they'll write it. They'll actually like go and research it and write it like they would write a normal article. It'll have something soft at the top, like, our editors work hard to find things that we think will interest you. We may earn affiliate commission. And because they're getting paid on a cost per click, they're incentivized to get people to click. So they have like clicks all the way through it. And so we've had so much success with that. Like, we had, like, in the very early days, an article on BuzzFeed, and we had over 5,000 people download the app and create an account, like go all the way through the funnel from that. They were really high engagement people because they've read a whole article about it. They really understand your business. They're not just like, what's this app? It looks like it could be appealing. I'll give it 2 seconds of thought and then give up on it. So that has been incredible for us. Like, obviously Meta, you can be paying a certain amount every single day and get traffic every single day. With these, you have less control. Like, you have a window of like, we want it to run within this 1 month. And if they pick it up, you don't know when it's going to run. You don't know how long it's going to run for. Sometimes it won't get all the traffic. Like, you have to be willing to commit to spend a certain amount of money, like if they drive enough traffic. But if they only drove like 10 clicks, you'd pay them $20. So you get like an article in like the Daily Mail and it costs you $20. Ideally, you want the traffic, but even just like having the credibility of these publications is great. So again, like flowing through to like Meta, you can now do things like, this app is the closest thing you'll find to a personal stylist, BuzzFeed. Like, that can now be the headline that you can use on a Meta ad. So I think the combination of those two things for us has been like just really powerful. And then on the more organic side, like, the nature of our audience is that they're creators. They live on Instagram. And so especially like if they're a creator on our app, they're posting to Instagram and being like, hey, like, check out this outfit, like, follow me on Miss Tyler and buy it. So we naturally have like quite a viral app that is designed for people to refer as well.
That's so cool. I honestly, that's the first time I've heard of that channel. Obviously, I know that people have paid for editorial placements in other places, but that's the first time I've heard Joe or a marketer talking about that as a significant growth channel for their app. And I think that is probably underutilized, but I can see how that works really well in beauty, in fashion, in fitness, and some of those types of categories where people are looking for those recommendations, looking for that insight, and hear something authoritative that gives them a hint, a clue, and they follow it. That makes a lot of sense. Love that. I'm going to keep that here for further notice for when I'm talking to others as well.
If you are an early stage company, it's also really great in those early days to have that credibility to be on your website and be like, as seen in Vogue and Harper's Bazaar and Who. So instantly you can all of a sudden like have these logos on your website or in your investor deck if you're raising money. So it's super powerful. And I will tell you, the platform that we have used for this, and I'm sure there's others, but we use a platform called Linkby, linkby.com, which is an Aussie company, but you can go in. And at the moment, I think they have publications in the US, Canada, UK, Australia, and I think Japan. So those are the places that they have set up this ecosystem.
Very cool. Thanks for sharing that. I want to hit TikTok because we pitched that right off the top, and that's what we're going to spend most of our time chatting about. Let's start here. You wanted to expand, I think, some of your channels. You knew that TikTok was huge. Are you personally a big TikTok influencer? Are you huge on the platform?
I'm definitely not a TikTok influencer. So it's not my domain. And really, our audience, we've probably skewed 25 years plus. We've got like a slightly older audience in a lot of these social apps. And we were really keen to get more representation in the 18 to 25 year old category. And they're on TikTok. It's also a platform that I don't know very well. Like, I haven't spent much time on it. And one of the big challenges with TikTok is that you need content, and you need content that's going to work for TikTok. You need user generated content that's going to appeal.
Yep.
And so
yep.
I'd actually separately, just to take a tangent away from TikTok for a second, I'd been chatting to another mobile app company that was going through a fundraise. They wanted to have like more positive app store reviews, like to build that up for credibility. It also obviously helps with organic growth and conversion. Download the app and review it. And so they ran this campaign. They ended up getting something like 200 five-star reviews on the app store from this intern application program. And they did get a few. Oh. This company's a bit dodgy. They're just trying to get 5-star reviews. But honestly, like overall, like it was a very positive impact for them. And so I thought, that's interesting. And I thought, you know, it'd be great for us to have an intern that was in that 18 to 25 age group that really like knew TikTok so that we could try and figure out TikTok together. And I could teach them about all the things that the business that we're experts in. And they could teach us about like what they're seeing on TikTok and what they think would resonate. And then together we could figure out the TikTok platform. So they would actually have the experience of like diving into like the TikTok ad platform, setting up campaigns and ad sets and becoming familiar with the platform. So we ran this internship job ad. And I think I put something like $15 of paid money behind running this ad to get a bit of exposure. But I thought that's all I was spending. But a week later, I went in there and I'd spent like $100 or $150 by accident. And I'd had like 500 applications to this intern program. And so we started going through and we only wanted one, but there was just like so many great people that were coming through. And so we ended up interviewing 20 people. And then we thought, you know what, like let's change the scope of this internship. And rather than it being one person that works with us, let's make it more like a 10-week course where it's very light touch. Like it was an unpaid internship, but we only required an hour of people's time a week. And that was to join a meeting with where we would take them through a different aspect of the business. And so we were essentially teaching them like end to end. We taught them about like product prioritization. We talked to them about affiliate marketing. We showed them like how we set up all of our customer automation emails and journey mapping. We showed them, among things, the TikTok platform, the Meta platform. We gave them all access to take over our Instagram for a day and engage with the community and post. So we tried to like bring a lot of value to them because this was going to be unpaid. And then on return, we were super keen to work with them to like learn more about TikTok. And we chose 10 people. And we also felt like we're not going to be able to teach them much about like TikTok trends and creative, but they're probably going to be able to teach each other about what they're seeing on TikTok. And so it worked really well. So the structure of the meeting was the first session, I think it was kind of a catch up, the structure of it, how it's all going to work. And we're like, next week, we're going to do TikTok. We're going to like create some campaigns and put some money behind it and see what creatives work. So your job for next week is to each of you create something for TikTok. And it can be you doing like a selfie video, or if you don't feel comfortable being on camera, it could also just be scrolling through the app and like doing a voiceover or doing type over it. So whatever you feel comfortable, just create something and then we'll load them all up the next week. So we did that. And so it was great just to see like the types of creative that people were coming up with. And then we loaded them all up into the system. So everyone got experience going through that platform. You know, what is a campaign? What is an ad set? How do we target and what options are available? And then setting up the creative. Within TikTok, there's also two things you can do. You can, you know, essentially get them to create a video or an image or whatever it is, give you the content and you load up the content into your own platform as an ad. The second thing you can do, and so, sorry, in that first instance, what happens is if somebody sees an ad, they see the video pop up, the logo is Ms. Tyler, the name is Ms. Tyler. So it's an ad from us, even though it might be user-generated content from somebody else. The second thing you can do is called a spark ad. And what happens there is that the creator posts the creative to their own platform, so to their own TikTok account, and then they give you a link that gives you access to use that creative and that post. And so when we do that, we're essentially putting money behind a post that's sitting on their platform. So they get the likes, they get the comments, they get all this like engagement. But 3 seconds into the ad, it has the call to action to download Ms. Tyler. And so what's great about that for us is because now it's creative with their logo, their name, like their profile picture, their name. So it's really organic content that had the call to action to download our app. And for them, they love it because they're getting this extra audience. So we had this one of the interns, her post got 1 million views. And like, that's pretty exciting for a creator to be like, wow, like this is so cool. So it was actually really fun for us to play with those. And definitely like, I really love the idea of these spark ads. It's just like so easy to set up and run.
What I love about that especially is that it's when you do creative, it's a numbers game, right? You can think up the best creative you've ever thought of and you launch it and you only launch one and well, it just doesn't hit. It doesn't hit, doesn't match the zeitgeist. It doesn't catch anybody's eye. For whatever reason, it falls into a dead zone. Who knows what? So you got to do many things, right? And you had 10 interns and they're all creating content. So you had lots of at-bats essentially to try and hit a home run. And it sounds like you hit a home run. Talk to us about maybe the costs and the results.
Yeah. So I think we were spending maybe, it wasn't a huge amount. I think we were putting maybe $1,000 a week behind TikTok, behind these ads. And we were basically setting it up so that we had it as just like one campaign and one ad set. And then we had all the different creatives. So the money was just being spread across those creatives. And ultimately, TikTok should be determining which ad is running the best and putting the money behind that. You do have a little bit of an issue where one ad gets launched first, it gets more traction. So when you add new creative later, they just don't get any traffic. So you have to play around a little bit, like with maybe like turning off your lead ad to let the other one get some traction so it can start to see how well it converts and then turn them back on again. But I think you really nailed it with one of the things with TikTok is you just need to have a lot of creative, because creative also does fatigue quite quickly. And the second thing is you really just don't know what's going to work. So from a brand perspective, if we were being really prescriptive and saying like, this is what we think is going to work, we want you all to create like a day in the life of ad where we want you to like be scrolling on the phone and doing whatever else, like we don't know what's going to work. So we shouldn't be prescriptive. So we intentionally were really like unprescriptive. We were like, do whatever you want. And one of the interns had this thing where there's like a cat talking to her and then she's wearing this outfit. And that one did really well. And it's like, would I have ever thought to breathe that in? Never. But that's, I think,
never.
The fun of it.
Yeah. Not in a million years.
Exactly. And the other thing with TikTok is it's not polished. Some of the beauty of TikTok is that it's like super authentic and it's just like really natural. And what's also great about that is it means that it doesn't take people forever to create these ads. Like literally, like these people that are just like TikTok, before they could even have the time to tell you what they're going to create, they've created it. Or like literally takes them like 3 minutes to do this, like a 3 minute ad. Like that's how long it takes them to do it. And so it's like really fast. It's really authentic. It's really natural. And again, yeah, with the 10 interns, it was really fun because like we'd come into the sessions and we'd be like, what are you seeing on TikTok? Like what trends are you seeing? Like is there trending music? Because again, like on TikTok, you know, catching on to like, you know, a trending sound or trending audio or just, you know, these whatever trends, like at the time it was like spring's calling and people would have like a phone and then all of a sudden they'd flick through a bunch of different outfits. But yeah, it's great. These people that are literally on TikTok all day, every day anyway, versus me trying to go onto TikTok and be like, what am I seeing that's trending?
Yeah, you run the risk if you don't understand the platform, don't know the platform, that you just put something that's totally tone deaf there. And the best thing that can happen if you do that is it totally falls into the ether and nobody notices it. The worst thing that can happen is that people do notice it and they point it out and yeah, it's not pretty. That's super cool. And that's something that a lot of people can replicate, right? You didn't spend a lot of money on it. Obviously it took some time, but do you feel like the results justified it?
Definitely. I'm just like looking now. We had, so one of the other things we did as part of the program is when I was in the US, the company I was at before was Mint Mobile. And we used this, I guess it's like an operating
that's
system.
That's Ryan Reynolds' company?
Yeah. So Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, exactly. Like that's pretty cool. But we use this thing called the Entrepreneurial Operating System, EOS, as like a structure for how we communicate through the organization, our priorities, how do we stay on track. And they have this one tool called the L10, you know, meeting format, where you basically come in and you have a structure where you look at the top 10 metrics, like what's the most important. We screen through those. You don't talk about any of it. If anything's offline, you drop it down to going off on tangents. Then you go through what everybody's like most important things for the last week were. Did everyone do them? Are they on track, off track? If they're off track, you drop it down. And then you have this discussion section. So we were doing that. And I'm actually just like looking back at our intern thing. So one of the metrics we were looking at was the cost per install. And I can see from the very beginning, the program, when we first launched on TikTok, our cost per install, and I think these are Australian dollars, which makes it even better from an American perspective, a USD or a Canadian dollar perspective. But at the beginning, we had a cost per install of $2.93. And by the end, we were down to 76 cost per install. And so that's just over a 10-week period and just like really lightly testing. So we definitely got those rates down pretty quickly. And so we were getting, so let me have a look. Yeah, we were basically spending like between $700 and $1,400 in a week on the campaigns. And we were getting up to 1 million views. on TikTok. So yeah, pretty compelling results.
It's also interesting when you think about those views. Obviously, you want the installs. Obviously, you want somebody to grab the app and to create an account and become a user. There is also some value in getting those views and getting your brand out there, because you know what? None of us decides based on nothing at all or one single stimulus to do a thing like create an account on that. It takes time, right? And yeah. So some familiarity, some knowledge, that all helps in the long run. Cool. Let's talk about what this might have taught you about marketing. Did you learn something about marketing through the process of working with these interns and just letting them go and letting them do whatever they wanted to do?
Yeah, I definitely always think it's really interesting to hear how other people describe your business or sell your business. Because you get so close to when you have your elevator pitch, which honestly mine I feel like changes every week. But letting them do it and actually just like seeing them create these videos and talk about like the features they like in the app and how they would communicate it. I think that's just like super valuable. And I always like love watching that and building that into the way that I communicate it to different audiences.
Is this something that you would recommend to others? Can anybody do this?
Yeah, honestly, it was a little bit of work because we wanted it to be valuable for the intern. So I did spend a little bit of time every week preparing for the 1 hour meeting, even just doing the reporting for the scorecard and then prepping material. And in some instances, I would bring somebody in who was an expert. So for instance, I brought in our PR expert, Megan, one time, and she talked to them about, you know, how she goes about her job. But super, super valuable. I think just having all these perspectives and just an open forum for people to like bounce ideas off each other. And it's a 10-week period of time. And I think from the intern perspective, you know, giving them the ability to even take over our Instagram for a day, getting insights into all these different things, it gave them like a lot more exposure to the business than they sometimes otherwise get. I had actually a friend of mine who's product at Amazon, who was also with me at Mint Mobile. She joined and talked about product management. And she was like, wow, this course is so good. I wish I could do this course, this internship. It's like a mini MBA. You're learning about all the different aspects of the business. But yeah, so I think if we were a profitable business, which we're not yet, we are still a venture-backed company. We're still growing. If we were profitable, I would definitely like, I think if anyone can afford to pay interns, you should pay interns. I think that's the right thing to do. But in this instance, we just made it 1 hour that they could, we used a tool called Doodle to make it a time that worked for everyone. So we weren't impacting somebody else's ability to earn or be in class. So I think we really just tried to take into mind that we weren't paying them. So how can we make it super valuable for them and not costly for them? And really let them walk away with some great experience and knowledge.
Very cool. And also you had some prep time, obviously, and that is valuable time that you had to give to this, and also the time when you were actually chatting with them. But one of the challenges that I've always had with like bringing in an intern or something like that is that I have to find something for somebody to do for 8 hours. That's hard. Like, what can they do? What can they not do? What do I have to help with? And so that could actually be more work to have a full-time intern than to have this sort of part-time or episodic intern. It makes a ton of sense. Are you going to do it again?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll definitely do it again. I think at the moment we're sort of taking a bit of a pause and just because we are so busy. But I think it's honestly such a great thing to do. And like, as you say, it's you're not having to manage anyone. I think trying to manage 10 people would be hard. We had them all on a Slack channel. So everyone could like message each other throughout the week, or we would be pretty responsive. So that, I think honestly, even just things like that, like teaching interns about the tools that you're going to use in a business, like, this is what Slack is. This is how you jump on a Google Meet. This is this Doodle scheduling tool. I think like that's all super valuable. And then what we did say to them is this was like a community engagement, social media focused internship. So we were like, also what we would love you to do is like open the app every day, like posts, engage with the community, add comments. So it was just like stuff that they could do that was like in their own time, when it suited. We weren't micromanaging anything. So yeah, to your point, there was a lot less management that we needed to do. So that made it great. So really like what it was like the 10 hours of meetings. It was a bit of prep time, a bit of coordination back and forth, and a budget to put behind the campaigns on Facebook and TikTok so that they could actually take some learnings away. So we had something to work with.
Sarah, I'm so glad that we had this chat. You and I met by happenstance at Mobile Apps Unlocked in Las Vegas last week. And you were in the speaker room. I was in the speaker room and just started chatting. I thought you had some cool ideas. Thank you so much for taking some time for your morning and sharing them here.
You're so welcome. I hope this is valuable.